In 1965, the famous Beatles, and I just feel a little bit of a generation gap when, and I was only 2 years old back then, but still in '60s, Beatles were dominating. They were bigger than BTS back then. This was the title song of their fifth album that was released on 1965. The simply called Help. The lyric goes like this. Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone. I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and opened up the doors. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me. And now my life has changed in oh so many ways. My independence seems to vanish in the haze. But every now and then I feel so insecure. I know that I just need you like I've never done before. Help me if you can. I'm feeling down and I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me. I could hear the melody in my ears. And today's psalm is about help as well. But as I am reading today's psalm, Psalm 124, please keep this Beatles song in mind. And then in your mind, and as you're reading the psalm together, contrast. What are the same things? What are the differences? This is the word of the Lord. Sorry about my mistake on there. Psalm 124, a song of ascents of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Did you sense the similarities and difference? And like the Beatles song, this Psalm 124 is a song about, pilgrim song about help. The difference is clear. While the admission of a desperate need is the same, the openness to receive, seek help is the same, but the stark difference is confidence in the psalmist David's attitude in God's help, despite his dire situation. What was David's secret to becoming confident in God's help? You see, the scripture brings a reality of then. The universal principle that we could learn is that even the cultural, historical context might be different, there are spiritual truth, universal truth that is applicable to any time of any place on our time and on the earth. David's case, it's the Philistines. The massive army was attacking. And they were outnumbered. Israelites were not prepared for it. But David's attitude was quite unique. He wasn't confident in himself or his, you know, the military special army around him that he handpicked. There were some mighty warriors along with David. But his confidence was in the God who had covenanted with him. And over the years, as the people of God, his hope was God's help, not only for himself, but also for Israel as the people of God. So today, as we are reading this, I think the obvious application that we could have is it's not only personally applicable. When were the times that you feel overwhelmed, that life feels, I mean, it feels like the world is falling apart? And before we figure it out and put our feet on the solid and leveled ground, but we could seek God's help, not the wishful way, but in a confidence, feeling confident. People of God, Crossway family, we are at a juncture this this year, that even not only today, the hurricanes there, the obstacles, it will be monumental. And then some of the monumental things are financial. For the first time in our church history, we're in red. And we'll talk about it a little more next Sunday. And then all of a sudden, we didn't have a place to worship. And God provided. And then at the same feeling that David has, we could identify. The question that we're asking today is, how did he get there? How did David get to a condition of his heart that he became confident in God's help amidst not good times, but adversity? This is first thing that David does in this psalm. David remembers how God has been on his side in the past. And notice that verse 1 and 2 are almost identical, right? If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And he explained, when the people rose up, Philistines rose up against us. An obvious thing is this repetition of the phrase is intentional. The emphasizing that is not our smart plan, that is not our military might, but because, only because God, our covenant God, Yahweh, was on our side. It had not been. So David looks back to past, remembers God's help in the past, before he looks at the raging waters. These are metaphors. And the enemy swallowing up and dragon-like. David remembers the past. I wish we could all say, my faith was never the same since I experienced when I received the first answered prayer. So we all have that, right? And I still remember, you know, back in my younger teenage days, I think first time I experienced it vividly, I lost an umbrella and I asked for God, please help me. I'm going to be in trouble. And this is a third or fourth time I lost an umbrella. My mom's going to be mad at me. Where is it? And all of a sudden God answered. Ding! And I remember where I left it and I went there. I said, thank you, Lord. God answered. I should be never be the same and any about no doubts. But our depraved heart, fallen heart, that's what flesh is all about. Sinful nature is all about. We are saved, but not until fully, not until the day of Jesus, return of Jesus, then when we stand before God, we will be glorified. We will no longer struggle with that kind of depravity anymore. But until then, we have a disease called a spiritual amnesia. We forget. Last week, I was so overjoyed. And I think it has a lot to do with, you know, celebrating together. Although we find out, you know, Friday that we could stay with, you know, our leadership team and I decided let's hold off the announcement together so we could celebrate together. There was a gathering, you know, basically a bunch of men got together. They called it a red meat and red wine get together. I was so tempted to share something. But as we were sharing, giving high fives and reading Exodus 15, what Israelites did right after crossing the Red Sea, the parting of the Red Sea, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed victoriously. It felt like our story, right? Remember this. Israelites experience. I mean, the Red Sea parted in front of them. And they walked through the ground, on the ground to dry ground. And they saw the horses and chariots of Pharaoh were swallowed up into the Red Sea. They should never be the same. But do you remember, for 40 years, they wandered around. The reason for God's training of them wandering around, number one sin is grumbling. We don't have enough water. We don't have anything to eat. Manna, God provides water. I'm sick of manna. We want meat, quail drops out of the sky. And they complain against Moses, rebelled against his leadership. So basically what went on was basically, as you're reading it, wow, they're really messed up. I mean, if I went through Red Sea, I would never do that again. But today, the passage is telling us, unless we become intentional about remembering those things, we will be just like the Israelites. And we could rationalize so many things, and even about the fact that we are staying, it becomes coincidence, you know. And then we could think about grass is greener. I was looking forward to sleeping in, and 2 o'clock service was not so bad. You know, we could think about those things. A change of scenery would be nice. It is our forgetfulness, spiritual forgetfulness, is detrimental to our confidence in God. So, what are some intentional practices that we could put it in? Well, journaling could be one of them. The regular rhythm of the opening the Word of God daily, surrendering our hearts, telling God, remind us. Open my eyes that I may see your wondrous things. Unite my heart so that instead of getting distracted and divided in my heart, that I would continually want you and pursue you. Daily confession. Lord, here I am again. I'm forgetful. Please forgive me. Help my spiritual amnesia. Help me remember how great you are. Expand my horizon view to see the greatness of holy God rather than putting you in little box in my own nationality. For Israelites, 3 times a year, the festivals, and God's wisdom put them in the annual rhythms. 3 times, these were holy days from which we got holidays. The original word was holy days, meaning the God appointed festival time. For them, for Israelites, Hebrews, it was a whole week, holy week. What are some personal traditions you have to remember God's mercy? You know, people talk about type A personality. I've been growing up as a type A person. I rarely read any books when I was younger. And as I'm going into 20s, I got serious about God, serious about God, and serious about Scripture. And my mentor challenged me. Readers are leaders and leaders are readers. What are you reading today? So as I'm continually reading, and I felt like, this is something that I could do. And then personal practice became, as I'm reading the book, I will go back reading some of those books, because reading much without much reflection bears little fruit. That's another quote from my mentor. So as I'm reading and reflecting it over and over, not only the scripture, but the spiritual writings of old, because some of the sentences are so dense, if you chew on it more and more, and it helped me to internalize my relationship with God, my faith in God, in writing. I do not want to forget this, Lord. As planned, Lord willing, I'll be on sabbatical for 3.5 months. And returning back, I would love to start 2024 in the time of a solitude and silence, listening to God's guidance. That's another intentional rhythm. What has God done for me past year? And looking forward, Lord, what do you like to see in my life? Because it left alone, our default mode, our soul becomes forgetful, complacent, and ungrateful. Most of you know, a couple of months ago, I turned 60. Cannot believe it. I'm still in denial. But if you ask me, do you have a prayer request now that in your 60s? I'm praying. And I ask you to pray that rather than becoming grumpy old man, pray that I will be broken, happy man in the Lord. Broken not because my emotional life is broken, but because my will is broken to the Lord, that I'm happy, choose to be contented in the Lord. The best year, decade, will be my 60s. Second thing David does in finding confidence in God's help amidst diversity is this. But before that, let me just remind, and not only Psalm 103, forget none of his benefits, Psalm 105, verse 5 through 6 says, remember the wondrous works that he has done, the Lord has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O spring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen one. The reason why I include verse 6 is that the psalmist is speaking to the people of God, Israelites, right? The literally offspring of Abraham, reminding them, know that you are chosen, that God has covenanted with you. In Christ Jesus, every single one of us are chosen children of Jacob, spiritually speaking, and chosen people of offspring of Abraham. So let's remember, not just personally, but as the people of God at Crossway, what he has done. And one of the things that I intentionally did, I wrote praise report to our missionaries, Don Carlos and Benny and Janice and Patrick and Tip. This is what happened. Rejoice with me, along with my spiritual director, Alan Fadling and Bill Galtier. And as I am writing this, I couldn't help remembering things. 6 years ago, I shared. This happened before, 6 years ago, when Santa Ana, city of Santa Ana, said that you cannot meet here. This zone is not allowing house of worship. And then we prayed and God sent Department of Justice all the way from Washington, D.C. And that one letter changed the city of Santa Ana. They changed the zoning law. And as I remember that, I'm strengthened. As we remember what God has done, so that we could stay at Yoba Middle School, that we will be strengthened to face other obstacles in the future. Number two thing that David does, he applies, not only remembers, applies God's past help to his present condition by faith. Now, acknowledging, applying requires a specific confession, admission that he, what God has done, that he is blatantly clear, verse 3, then if God had not been with them on their side, then they would have swallowed us up alive when their anger, Philistines, was kindled against us. In the metaphor, the flood would have swept us all away. A torrent would have gone over. The multitude army coming like torrent and raging water. Then over us would have gone raging waters. How do you acknowledge? The best way is to acknowledge what God has done and applies it. What God has done is not only remembered, acknowledged, but praised. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. You see, our faith journey, this spiritual pilgrimage, is inevitably involves dangers. And one of the misconceptions that we could say to the new believers is that just all you need is Jesus. And then you will be happy for the rest of your life. Nothing could be further from the truth. When we step in the discipleship following Christ, there might be more dangers in front of us. Why? Because our life, in essence, is a pilgrimage through the battlefields. Not rose garden, not tourism through amusement parks. For David, the dangers were the literal enemies, Philistines, who hated the Israelites, who wanted to just wipe away the Israelites who came into Canaan. And for us, it's our spiritual enemies, the devil, his demons, and the world, that the world system and world that turn against God, and the flesh, our sinful nature. The spiritual battle, as Ephesians 6 says, it's not in the blood and the flesh, meaning it's not a physical fight. So subtle things that can happen, the thoughts that come to your mind, the negative, very dark thoughts, not blatantly hatred about somebody, but cynical jadedness that come to your mind. That spiritual battle begins there. And God, if you are really loving, you would have healed my mom. She still suffers with this. God, if you were mindful about what's going on, you should provide that financial need we have. You know I need a job. You know my son, my daughter needs this kind of break. Are we vigilant in the dangers? Do we even know there's dangers? Like many of you, I don't usually watch, especially weather forecast news, for 3 hours early this morning. I'm an early riser. Just making sure it is okay, it is safe, and it is, are there any dangers. And then even though they keep on saying, now it's category one, and it's a kind of dying out, you know, I'm thinking, I just need a little more information. To trust in God on the hazardous road means to apply God's past help into our current situation, acknowledging and praising God's work for us. Sisters and brothers, may I ask you right now, what do you remember about God's miraculous work? And if you're saying, God, if you had not been there on my side, this disastrous thing could happen. What was it? What do you feel about it today? Do you acknowledge God's greatness, His mercy? And you say, blessed be the Lord. Praise you, Lord. And once again, left alone, our heart becomes dull, ungrateful, complacent. Do you remember the time that Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, kept their loyalty to the Lord and they didn't bow to the image that they created in the Babylon? And then because of this, the weird setup, so they were thrown into the fire. And then Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. I'm reading it in NIV, in New International Version, intentionally, because I love this phrase. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve is able to save us from it, from their past experience. They know that. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Why? Why were they able to say, even if he does not? Because in dying, they were safe in the everlasting arms of the Father. The Lord, Yahweh, the covenant God. God was bigger than this furnace and the dying situation, dire situation for him, for them. Do you remember? And there was a song a couple of weeks ago. There were four men, the song says. And the scripture says that there were supposed to be three. And the king Nebuchadnezzar was looking down. And there was a fourth man. Who could be the fourth man? So many scholars will say that the Jesus incarnate, the second person of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, that the Old Testament often says, protecting them. They were safe. None of their body was hurt by the flame. Third and last thing that David does to find confidence in God's help is this. David becomes confident in God's help as his ultimate hope and joy in light of what Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego said is, makes sense here. Verse 7, we have escaped like a bird from the snare of fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. In 18 centuries, or actually 1858, so 19 centuries, John Doray as a minister was struggling and persecuted because of the preaching of the gospel. And years later, he was brought back and he was able to continually preach in England. And then the small number of grew. And then in a few years, it was 100, 200, and 2,000 people as they were marching. They were singing Psalm 124, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." And it is said in the writings of the report, one of the persecutors said, "This is their God who helped them." Is it possible for us to be confident? Yes, our victory in Christ is already and not yet fully ours. Jesus won the victory. It is ours, but not fully yet until we get to heaven or Jesus returns when we become glorified. So because of that, the need for today is vigilance. As I mentioned, that we are not, Christian life is not just skipping through the rose garden or tourism through the amusement park. It is battlefields. The vigilance of Satan's snare, such as temptations, lust, and, you know, fear, pride, anxiousness, those things that trap us, continually bring us down. And our remembrance and acknowledgments of God's help bring us the undeniable reality of God's presence in our lives. I want you to know, it doesn't take an awful sinner to become ungrateful because of our depraved, fallen heart. Also, it doesn't take spiritual giant to have undeniable reality, experience undeniable reality of God's presence. The only thing that we need is simple faith. As we grow in confidence in God's help. It is not mere wishful hope, but confidence in God's help, even when it feels like the world is falling apart. The question is, how do we know? How do I know God is on my side? The answer is not on our current circumstances or our efforts to be good enough, because we will never be good enough, but on God's trustworthiness in His sovereign grace for us in Christ Jesus. Here is the gospel, men and women. You're saying, "Paul, I don't think I have enough faith. I don't really believe God will come through." No, it's not up to you. It's not up to me. Even if we try so hard, we don't get to deserve or merit God's help in that way. Romans 8, verse 31 to 32 reminds us this is why it's so true. What then shall we say to these things? Very difficult things. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for me, if God is for Crossway family, what can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Here is how we know. When we did not deserve, Christ loved us and he died in our place. God demonstrated, showed his love toward us while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. You are believer, then you belong to Christ. You have chosen. You have been chosen before you chose Christ. Then he will never let you go. I will never leave you, he promised. Eugene Peterson, in his book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction, writes this poignant word for us. Peterson writes, when we are first in danger, our consciousness of hazard is total, like a bird trapped in a snare. All the facts add up to doom. There is no way out. And then, unaccountably, without knowing why this happened, there is a way out. The snare breaks and the bird escapes. Deliverance is a surprise. Rescue is a miracle. Oh, blessed be God. He did not abandon us defenseless. How God wants us to sing like this. Christians are not fuzzy moralists whose cluck their tongues over a world going to hell. Christians are people who praise the God who is on our side. Hallelujah. Coming weeks, we have obstacles. And I cannot believe I'm taking sabbatical in this season. I'll explain why I come to the conclusion next week. But instead of worrying and going through this dark cloud, we could sing praise the God who has been on our side and who will be on our side because of Christ and Christ alone. May the Lord comfort you, encourage you, uplift you with these words. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this timely word for us as we have experienced the answered prayer when we knocked on the door more than 45 venues and the answer kept on coming, no. The only thing that we had was Taft Church with 6 months 2 o'clock service in the afternoon. Thank you, Lord. If you had not been on our side, those young families with babies would have a hard time coming to the service. Some of our church members who work graveyard shift might not have been able to come to continue the journey with us on Sunday morning, celebrating, worshiping you. If you had not been on our side, we would lose this stability in this difficult season of our lives, in our season of Crossway family. And I would terribly worried over where church would be with instability of even where to meet. How could I even go on a sabbatical, Lord? If you had not been on our side, our faith and view of you will be so small that we will be cringing our faith every time a small, petty obstacle shows up in our church. But thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord who's been on our side. We praise your name. We pray that you will continually strengthen our faith. Have mercy on us so we may pay attention to you. Increase our faith, we pray, that our journey will be strengthened, our knees will be strengthened, our hands will be tied to each other with the love, the bond of love, with the joyful unity to become one church without grumbling. We pray to this end, in the name of our Lord and the victor of our lives, in Jesus Christ. Amen.